How about we say hallelujah for God's economy?
Hallelujah.
For God's economy. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah. And of course, this West Coast training, mainly for the, you know, West Coast, I think from Bay Area down to the border. And anyone that is not from this region, like you are from other country or from other states, can you stand up also? Just let us see who you are. Hallelujah. How about you saying, quickly say where you from? Amen. Wow, Switzerland. Amen. South Korea.
Taiwan.
Okay. Jacksonville. Where? Australia, Sydney. Okay. London. Wow. Amen. London. Amen. Good. Mexico. New Jersey. Massachusetts. Mexico. Mexico. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, let's go to our book. Notebook. I really like this notebook. You know, before we used to have this big binder, you know, and every message, you know, I don't like to hear that click, 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 click. Everyone click on together. And this year, I like that, you know, turn much smoother. The training is going higher. Well, and also you look at the tab on the side. Isn't that lovely? You don't need to flip around. It's very clear. So there are guidelines. I'm not covering that. Last night you covered that already. Then morning watch. This morning you did it at 7 o'clock. I heard that there were all of you were here at 7. That was awesome. And so hope that you continue that the rest of the week. And then now we come to the third tab. The morning session one. How about you all turn to that one? So this morning session, the general subject for this line is the human spirit revealed in Ephesians. And there will be 5 messages throughout this morning line, the first morning line. So we are very much focused on the book on Revelation. How about we read the title, the subject of this whole training? In the front of your book. The revelation of the mystery. Hallelujah. The revelation of the mystery. Can we all say that without looking?
The revelation of the mystery.
Hallelujah. What we are here this week, really want to see the revelation of the mystery that is revealed in the book of Ephesians. So the morning line, the first morning line will very much cover the book of Ephesians as well as the evening messages are all focused on Ephesians. Ephesians is a wonderful book. It's the heart of the Bible. Yeah. And that reveal a great mystery of the universe that was hidden in God's heart at one point. And throughout the, you know, eternity past, and the Old Testament, no one knew what was hidden in God's heart until the New Testament time. God revealed that to His holy apostles. And it was written down, and this mainly, major part of it, He revealed that to Paul. And so, in order to see this revealed mystery, we need to really focus on our spirit. And that's why the book of Ephesians, every chapter talk about our human spirit. Chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 6, verse 18. Each chapter, at least, mention at least one time about our human spirit. And The reason is this, because this mystery only can be perceived, can be understood, can enter in through our human spirit. Yeah. In fact, one of the messages in the morning here, instead of spoken by us brothers, you all will be speaking. On Friday, message 4, we will prepare you. You will be the one that's speaking message to each other. Aren't you looking forward to that? Amen. You can do it. You probably can do better than we. Okay, be ready for that, okay? So, our burden in this morning line here is particularly this message, the first line in the morning, is that you will really come to treasure your spirit. And you will also love to use your spirit and pay attention to your spirit. And being a person in the spirit and find every opportunity to use our spirit. And I just want to read you a hymn that I really love. It's hymn 782. And the writer of this hymn said in verse 4, he said, "Make my spirit strong, I pray." How many of you have ever prayed these kinds of prayer? You may have prayed for, "Lord, give me great, you know, good grade. Lord, give me, you know, A's." Right? Have you ever prayed, "Lord, give me a strong spirit"? Right? "Other spirit to revive. Lift my spirit high and free. Other spirit then may thrive." Don't you want to have such a spirit? And then verse 5 says, "Every time I speak, O Lord, may my spirit actuate. Not from the mind, but from the spirit. And when whatever I may do, let my spirit motivate." Right? "And every time my spirit acts, other spirit open be. Every time my spirit moves, other lifted unto thee." Don't you inspire to have such a spirit? Really, this is our burden this week. Brothers and sisters, we would like to be a people that know our spirit and know how to use our spirit and live in our spirit more and more. Amen. So always turn to our spirit, and may our spirit be the most prominent part of our being. And some people, when you contact them, you just realize these people is very sharp. And or some people, you contact them, you right away realize this person is very emotional. But we want the impression we give to people is, boy, this person, there's something else. I'm not sure what quite to label him. But eventually they will realize these person are in their spirit. They are not emotional. That doesn't mean they are stone either. Right? But they are something deeper. They have spirit. They use their spirit. They live in their spirit. They communicate in spirit. They act in spirit. So in spirit, we can, of course, the spirit is our deepest part. Of course, we all know that man was created by God with three parts. But I don't mind to show you again. Maybe this is not the first time to see this chart. But I want to show you again. Man has three parts. Amen. But you know what? The most important part is our spirit. In the outline, in a short while, I will show you. God also look at us, value us, mostly with our spirit. Brothers, do you see what is here? What is the red spot here? Can you see at the back, brothers? What is that red spot there? Yeah, your innermost part of your being is a spirit. The brothers at the back, you can see it? What can you see, brothers at the back? Spirit is highlighted for you. It's red. It's the focus. This should be our focus. But many times today, people focus on their mind. Or they focus on their body. That's why a lot of fitness classes, a lot of this whatever program, CrossFit or whatever, right? And that only help you to focus on your body, right? You are all college students. Every college campuses have lecture rooms, lecture halls. That is for what? For your soul. And every campuses have gyms and tracks. That is for what? For your body. But nothing for the spirit. Even though all your religious class is not for your spirit, it's for your soul. But we want to be people that know our spirit. How important our spirit is in God's economy. How important our spirit is with God's eternal purpose. I'll show you many more times. But it's good for now. So for this, how about we go to Roman numeral 1. I will read the title for this message here. Receiving revelation in our spirit. And how about Roman numeral 1, we read it together. Amen. The Lord, He created heaven and the earth. And in this verse in Zechariah 12:1, He ranked the human spirit with the heaven and the earth that He created. Do you realize how important heaven is? And also, do you realize how important the earth is? Can you imagine there's no earth? There'd be no you, no I. But not just heaven is important, earth is important, but our spirit. Here, Zechariah the prophet, he didn't just say man. Of course, we know in general, man is important in God's economy, right? In God's eternal purpose. But Zechariah specifically didn't just say man, but he said the spirit of man. Spirit of man. If man without the spirit, if man's spirit was deadened, they become useless in relation to God's purpose. You know, if I can draw a little chart here, I will name it three parts and three parties. Okay, now imagine now, I'm drawing boxes here on a spreadsheet. Three columns down is spirit, soul, and body. And three rows across, the first one is God. The second one is Satan, and the third one is you. So, three parts and three parties. How they're in relation to each other. Of course, related to God, our whole being is important to Him. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5, He said, He will preserve us complete, without blemish. What? Our spirit, soul, and body. But you know what? Yet, He focused on our spirit more than the other part. The other part is more just for as a faculty. But the spirit is really where the focus is. But you know what Satan wants to do with the three parts of human being? He wants to damage every part. He wants to kill the body. That's why in the Bible, at the Lord Jesus' time, many of those who have been possessed by demons, what? They hurt their body. They cut their body. They damage their body. They cause their body to be even thrown into water or thrown into fire. Right? But what does Satan want to do with our soul? He wants to darken it, make it crooked, pervert it. That's what Satan wants to do. And what about your spirit? He just deadened it. Of course, he cannot attack it, but he makes it useless. But what about you? How would you do with your three parts? Right? Of course, as a college student, you want to be healthy, right? You want to get 4.0. Right? But by large, on your behalf, I have to admit, by large, we only focus on our first two parts, our body and our soul. Not too much on our spirit. Percentage-wise, how much time we spend to cherish our spirit, to pay attention to our spirit, to take care of our spirit, is not that much. We hope that in this training, you got to realize and treasure and love your spirit even more so than your body, than your soul. Because that is the part that God focuses on. And I want to read you a verse in Isaiah 66:2b. To what kind of man the Lord is looking. You know what the Lord looks? The Lord doesn't look at your facial, how you look. The Lord doesn't read your IQ either. He wants to look for those who are poor in spirit. That doesn't mean poor in quality. That means they are emptied. They are hungry. That's what the Greek word means. The poor in spirit. Those who are contrite in spirit. He looked for the spirit. The point is that God look at you. He look at your spirit. Joseph, when God look at you, He look at your spirit. Your friend look at you, maybe look at how you look, you know, how your hairstyle, you know, hairdo. And sisters, how much time you spend on your hair? I don't want to touch it, okay? And brothers, you know, how much time you spend on looking on your mirror? Right? But how much time you look at the Lord? That shows that which part you pay attention to more. Okay, our human spirit being created to be compatible with God. Yeah. So that God, we can have fellowship with God. We have communication with God. And how about, I will read A to you, okay? A, in the creation of man, Jehovah God's breath of life breathed into man's body, became the spirit of man, the human spirit. Yeah, in Genesis 2:7, the Hebrew word there is neshama, referring to the breath of God that breathed into the nostril of man, of clay. And man became a living soul. And that word neshama occurred again in Proverbs 20:27, but it was translated as man's spirit. So the breath of God, which is not the very life of God, not the Spirit of God, but something that is very close to the breath of God, or the life of God, the Spirit of God, being breathed into man's body through the nostril, it became man's spirit. Hallelujah! And that is that part that's compatible with God. That is that part that we are mankind, not just mankind, we are God's kind. We're not just outwardly created according to God's image and likeness, that we are God's kind. But actually, that part that God breathed into, that breath of life, that is very close to His spirit and His life, that is the part that made us God's kind. When Adam looked at all the animals, nothing matched him. It's not just because our shape and our hair and all the sizes, but it's because there is nothing, because none of the animal has spirit. No one that can match him. But eventually, someone that can match him. Today, God is also looking for man, spirit, to match him. Due to the fall, man's spirit was deadened by Satan. But man's spirit needs to be enlivened. Needs to be exercised after being enlivened. Needs to be open to him so that he can come in. Okay, I will read one. The breath of life breathed into man's nostril was not the eternal life of God, nor the Spirit of God, but something very close to God's life and God's Spirit. Two, because the human spirit is very close to the Spirit of God, there can be a transmission between God, the Spirit, and man's spirit. And the human spirit is able to contact God and be one with God. Wonderful! God is contactable. And we even can be one with God through our spirit. God is not so as abstract anymore. He's not that much, you know, untouchable, unreachable God. If we know our spirit, we can actually touch God. We actually can be one with God. That is awesome. You talk about man and God become one. That should be the top news in every day in the newspaper. B, in the eyes of God, the human spirit is ranked with the heavens and the earth because with it, man may contact God. How about you say amen? Contact God.
Amen.
Receive God.
Amen.
Worship God.
Amen.
Live God.
Amen.
Fulfill God's purpose for God.
Amen.
And be one with God.
Amen.
The amen is not that exciting. It's more routine. Come on, one more time. I read it again. Okay? Amen. Because with it, man may contact God.
Amen.
Amen. Receive God.
Amen.
Worship God.
Amen.
Live God.
Amen.
Fulfill God's purpose for God.
Amen.
And be one with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Without man's spirit, this cannot happen. Now go to Roman numeral 2. How about you read it? Yeah. So, you know, God's economy, this mystery that was hidden and was revealed, is already revealed. But do you see it? Do others see it? It very much depends on their spirit. And Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1:17, he prayed for a spirit. The God will give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the eyes of their heart will be enlightened to see what the physical eyes cannot see. To see what your mental faculty cannot see. Our mind trying to comprehend this is inadequate. Only when our spirit is activated, we can see. For this, I want to speak a very practical word here. Saints, we are here watching a movie this weekend. I hope that message after message is just like a different episode of the same movie. I hope that you will see this universal movie. This movie stretches far from eternity past to eternity future, across all the times. I tell you, how many of you have been to watching the 3D movies? Those are big screen that when you go into the room, everyone, they give you a little pair of glasses, right? And then you put it on, then you see 3D, right? And the things can get so close to your face. But I want you to put on a spiritual glass this week.
Amen.
Don't take it off.
Amen.
I'm giving you right now, each one a pair.
Amen.
Hook it on.
Amen.
Without that pair, you can't see anything. One time I tried to take the 3D glasses down and see what I can see. It's blurry. I don't enjoy it. So I better put it back on. Then I see it better. And Saints, I tell you, we are seeing something better than 3D. We are watching 5D movie. Heavenly Channel 101. Are you tuning in?
Amen.
You better tune in.
Amen.
Otherwise, you miss out the whole week.
Amen.
You might hear things, but you don't see it. We tune into our spirit.
Amen.
And you know, Paul saw that. For this, Saints, we need to learn how to switch off all the other thoughts. We need to know how to control our heart, our mind. And Paul, you know why Paul was blinded for 3 days? Because he saw so many things distracting him. He couldn't see God. He was doing something for God, but he didn't see God. That's why he needed to be blinded. So he's got no distraction. We can switch off. We don't need God to blind us. That might be a little bit scary. Right, Emmanuel? But we can spiritually turn off all the other channels, all the other switch, so that we are tuned in to the heavenly channel. So we can see God. All the thoughts that come in, switch it off. Don't let it brew over you, hover over you, hound on you. Turn it off. Satan, you get away. This week, I give all my time here. Of course, our burden is not just this week here, that you will carry on this away from the training, into the church life, back to your campus, back to your day-to-day living. Oh, Lord. You know what? Before that, Paul, I just read what I wrote down here. He thought that he knew everything, but didn't realize that what he knew was just a shadow, type, and figure. Nothing was real. What he observed was this just merely tradition, culture, and religion, and counterfeit. What he had were only natural zeal, strange fire, and strong willpower. And what he did was just destruction, damaging, and frustrating. But when he saw the vision, you know what? He changed. This person changed. Do you want to change? You need to see this vision like Paul did. You know what? After seeing this vision, Paul changed from outward to inward. He changed from the flesh to the spirit. He changed from law to Christ. He changed from killing to building. He changed from persecuting to pursuing. He changed from the earthly to the heavenly. He changed from the physical to the spiritual. He changed from the letter to the spirit. He changed from the shadow to the reality. He changed from religion to Christ. You deserve it, brothers and sisters. You're not too young to have such a change. The key is our spirit. Okay, A, we need both wisdom and revelation in order to perceive the spiritual thing. One, wisdom, the ability to understand spiritual things, is in our spirit. We cannot know the spiritual thing with our mind. We can only know them with the proper organ, our spirit. Cleverness is in our mind, in the mind, but wisdom is in our spirit. Tune in, saints. Turn deeper. Your mind can only understand to a certain level. You need to tune in. Otherwise, you say, I heard about this. Heard about this is not enough. We need to see it. We need to enter into it. We need to experience it. This is real. This is another universe. It's another territory. It is glorious. Revelation. The opening of the veil is through God's Spirit in our spirit. First, we must have spiritual understanding, the wisdom in our spirit, and then the Spirit of God can reveal the spiritual things to our spirit to give us revelation. We need to exercise our spirit to pray, read the Word, in order to receive wisdom and revelation from the Word. In order to see this for sure, we need to come back to the Word of God. And not just the Word of God. Try to apprehend it, understand it with your mind. But we need to open up another layer. Our spirit. And with this, we need to be simplified. We need to be single. The Lord is perceivable, contactable, enjoyable. But Satan's strategy is to distract us to 1,000 directions. To the point you don't know where you are most of the time. Right? But we need to turn away from all these distraction elements. Control our heart. Manage our mind to focus on Him. Let Brother Emmanuel continue. How about read the point 4 again together.
Praise the Lord for our spirit. I mean, without our spirit, even as our brother was sharing, there's no difference between us and the animals. But we have a spirit. And it's so amazing to me that in the book of Ephesians, which is a book on God's heart's desire, His eternal purpose and the good pleasure of His will, in every chapter, we have the human spirit. And the first chapter, it relates the human spirit as our seeing organ. Seeing is so important. Dear saints, if we don't see, we will not enter in. The principle here that we have to grab is that our seeing is for our entering in. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, He said, unless one is born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But then later on He says, if someone isn't born of spirit and water, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord equated our seeing with our entrance. Our seeing is our entrance. We're entering into God this week. We're entering into His very heart's desire. Do you want to enter in? Oh, our spirit is the way in. We're giving you the key. Tonight, actually, is when we speak on what is the mystery. But we don't want to share it with you unless you have the key. Without the key, you have no way in. No way! And, okay, college students, I really enjoyed prayer reading the verses for this. In Ephesians 1:17, the Apostle Paul's first prayer was for us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. His first prayer for you, not just to the Ephesians. See, that brother, he knew the body of Christ universally. His prayer wasn't just for the Ephesians. His prayer was for us. You know, last night the serving ones came together to pray. And our prayer for you is the same as the Apostle Paul's prayer. That you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And when I was pray reading this verse, I had a realization. If you are born again, if the Spirit has entered into your spirit, you already have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not a matter of getting it. It's a matter of exercising it. It's a matter of using it. You have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. But do you have it in this training? Do you have it when you come to the Word? Do you have it in your experience? This is the prayer. Because when we get this prayer answered, we can enter in. Not only see the movie, but be in it. Enjoy all of it. What's before us in this training are the unsearchable riches of Christ for our enjoyment. There's also the church. Oh, especially the church. When I say the word church, I'm just afraid we all have so many concepts. That's why we don't get excited. We're just so ho-hum, right? Lukewarm. So easy to compromise a meeting for something else. We don't see. Lord, our spirit. We have the way. Let's practice in this training so we can take home what we learn to see every day this great vision that is available to all of us. The Apostle Paul wrote it down so that we can see it. So, students, your whole life, you've been using your mind to solve all your problems, to take your midterms, to imagine your future, You've relied on it desperately for everything. And even, you know what? It's by default. There's a lot of other problems, but this problem of the mind. Our mind. We cannot use our mind to see the mystery of God. Cannot. It doesn't work for that. We do need our mind. But our mind set on the Spirit can be used by the Lord. Because in the Spirit we have wisdom. In the Spirit we have revelation. You know, what is this wisdom? It's actually the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, we have the mind of Christ. Only the mind of Christ can understand these things. You have the mind of Christ and it's in your spirit. And when you turn to your spirit and exercise your spirit, His mind becomes your mind. And you can understand all the deep things of God. And also in our spirit, there's revelation. Oh, the rolling away of the veils. I think the word in Greek is apokalypsis. I'm not sure how to say it. But, you know, if you're Spanish speaking, the book of Revelation is apokalypsis, right? Well, where do you think that came from? Revelation. The rolling of the way of the veils. And, for this revelation, we need to exercise our spirit. When we come to the Word, we need to exercise our spirit. If we don't exercise our spirit, there is a veil there. We don't see. Oh, but when we turn and we exercise our spirit, the veil is taken away. And we can see the deep things of God. Don't you want to see? I think we all want to see something. Lord, why are you here? Right? College students, why did you come here? To just have some fun? No, you came to see something. You came to see your God. You came to see what was inside of His heart. And our spirit is the way. And so I want to encourage you, practice this week. Before you come to the Word, pray. What's the best way to exercise our spirit? It's to pray. It's the best way. Easiest way. Calling the Lord. It's the shortest prayer. But the best way is to pray. Our spirit is a praying organ. Before you read the Bible, you know you're memorizing verses, right? Pray. Before you look at your sheet, pray. Lord, I want to find You. I want to see You. I want to know You. I want to experience You. Pray. Pray while you're reading. You know, pray while you're reading, that's what we call pray reading. You're reading and you're praying. Oh, don't just read with your mind. Pray read with your spirit. So that you can see what God wants to reveal to you. Pray after you're done. Don't run away to do something else. Start talking about something else. The Lord gave you something. Pray it back to the Lord. Linger there a little bit. Give Him a way to show you a little more. Lord, is there anything else? Is there something more for me? I want more. This is how we should pray, read the Word. With an exercised spirit. Also, you come to a message. Okay, it's not written here. But the Word is being spoken today. Pray before you come to the meeting. Pray during the meeting. You know, you want to keep your spirit exercised while you're listening. Pray during the meeting. Pray for me. Pray for yourselves. The Lord moves in you. Pray that to the Lord right away. Don't wait. Lord. Pray after the meeting. Pray God's Word in. It's the only way to receive it. Whether it's written, whether it's spoken, when we're singing, it's okay to pray. You know, before, during, after, pray. Amen. Get your spirit engaged. Amen. Not singing songs because you like the tune or to one another. Like we really, I want everyone to enjoy my voice. That's not why we sing. We sing to the Lord out of our love for Him. We sing to the Lord because we want to see Him and enjoy Him. We want to touch Him. We must exercise our spirit. The key is our spirit. Okay, well, let's come to point B here in the outline. And let's read that all together. Vision results when we have revelation, the opening of the veil. Sight, light, and the right angle. Okay, this portion of the outline here, there's a real burden that we would give you a practical handle to this matter of your human spirit, especially as it relates to revelation. See, our spirit is deep within our vessel. And there's a lot of parts to our being. And there can be frustration in all these different areas from our really getting to our spirit to see and to understand God's revelation. And so this here really gives us a practical way. And actually, these points, as we were reading, you can actually take them and relate them to the subpoints. Revelation. Why don't you, if you have a pen, why don't you write it right next to subpoint one there? Revelation. And then sight, subpoint two, write it in. Subpoint three, light. And subpoint four, right. The right position with the right angle. And then five, there's an awesome illustration, and I'll get to that. I just feel like this year the Lord, in my coming to the Word, has had a...
I don't know how to say it. He's just shepherded me so much. And actually, when I came to read this outline and prepare for this message, I mean, this year I just enjoyed reading the Word so much. And then when I read this message, especially these parts here, I'm like, oh, I've been doing that. I was like, hey, this is why it's been so good. And here it is. And I get to share it with you all. I just got so happy. I was praying with Brother Lampstand, and it's like, I'm really happy about this. I want you all to have help. I mean, who here has read the Bible and just felt oldness, deadness? I've heard this before. I already know. You know, saints, that's Satan. Satan tricking you into using your mind and coming to the Word. And our heart, which includes all the things of our soul and our conscience, our heart has many troubles and many problems. And we just think, well, I'll just read. I'm just going to read anyway. And we get nothing. And we leave. And actually, consider your Bible reading. Do you even have Bible reading anymore? Maybe you tried it once and failed. Now it's not that good. And so you don't do it anymore. I was a college student. I think I know. Oh, I got some laughter. I think I know. I know who's having the same experience. It's not because you're not good enough or you're not smart enough. It's because you haven't gotten to your spirit. That's the only reason you've been having problems. You come to the meetings. I've heard this before. Human spirit. Ho-hum. The church. Wow, there's an NBA basketball game. There's some competition. If you saw the church, there'd be no competition. Well, our heart. Anyway, I really enjoyed the Lord this year in reading my Bible. And these points here can help you have a new beginning in coming to the Word, exercising your spirit in a very specific way, in a very deliberate way, in a very consistent way, to see God. He'll be so real to you, to see what's deep in His heart. Okay, let's begin going through these.
Subpoint one. In order to see a vision, our heart must be turned to the Lord so that the veil may be taken away. Oh, a turned heart. Let's look at those verses if you have it with you. I hope everyone would have their Bible, open already, right in front of them. You come to these meetings, come with the Bible open. Okay, I'll read to you for time's sake. I can hear everyone pulling theirs out. 2 Corinthians, and actually we're going to start with 3:15. Indeed, unto this day, whenever Moses is read, that's the Bible, a veil lies on their heart. But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is just a principle. You need to turn your heart to the Lord. When we sit down to read the Bible, we need to have a heart that is turned to Him. A heart that just loves Him. A heart that's turned to Him. Like our brother was sharing, we need to turn off all the distractions. Joseph, come up here. And we need to have a heart that's turned to the Lord. Okay, I want to illustrate it. The turning and the veil are the same thing. Can you turn away? Okay. See, this one's your heart right now. Well, maybe not right now, but this one's your heart. And sometimes when we come to the Word, our heart is turned away from the Lord. Our eyes are on the page of the Bible, but our heart is somewhere else. Where is your heart? Is it still caught up? Is it back in bed? Huh? Is it imagining something? I'll be honest. In my 20s, I could dunk a basketball. And I remember I dunked this really good basketball. And I actually had a real hard time reading my Bible afterwards, because I just kept playing the highlight reel in my head. My heart wasn't to the Lord. It was just on that, oh man, it was good. Anyway. But the Lord, I couldn't see Him. I couldn't enjoy Him. Actually, I'll tell you another one. When I fell in love with my wife, in the morning I had such an easy time reading the Bible, finding the Lord. And I just wake up, Lord Jesus, I love You. Oh, no problem. And then I fell in love with this sister, And now in the morning, the Lord had some competition. It's a little embarrassing, but anyway. But I remember I started to dry up. It was too much. She needed to be in her place, right? Second. Right. Amen. Hallelujah for second. The Lord is first. Everything else is second. Well, my wife's more than everything else, but anyway. This would be me coming to the Bible. And I really started to die. I just started to die. We're branches in the vine. I just started to wither up. And I even remember opening up to my gospel team there and saying, I need help. I can't enjoy the Lord. I need to step back and make this a focus. Oh, the Lord exposed me quickly. Your heart's divided when you come to me. Turn your heart to me. And I learned how to turn my heart. It's so simple. Do you want the secret? Or do you want to be here like Joseph? Sorry, Joseph. I know it's a long time. Do you want to know how to turn? The cell phone comes on. Oh, it's someone's birthday again. You're there to read your Bible, but now your heart's like, maybe I should write them something. Okay, everyone has a birthday every day. We got to learn how to turn to the Lord. I'm serious. It's real simple. One, when you recognize that your heart... I would like to encourage you to call on His name. It's what I did this year. I encourage you. I just call. I'll call on the Lord. I'll call on the Lord. Actually, I was calling on the Lord in my morning time for this very reason. And then Tina's sister in San Diego there, Tina's neighbor, she's at the registration desk back there. But Tina's neighbor complained a little. I had to call softer. But, you know, I just have so many things in my mind. I have financial concerns. I have church worries. I have my kids, my wife. I sin. All these things. And they're just in my heart, veiling me. Thank you, Joseph. You're doing a great job. Just like this. And so I call on the Lord. Until what? Until I love Him. Until I want Him. I just want to see His face. I just want to hear His Word. I'm not okay with opening my Bible to just get it done. I want to see Him. And many times when I start, it's not how I start. It's just my duty. My religious Christian duty. But when I start calling, my heart starts turning. Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Amen. Stay up here. Can you see?
Yeah.
Yes. Now you can see. Amen, Joseph. Now you can go. All right. Well, now you can see. Anyway. Well, that's just the start, actually. But then the Lord will say, hey, this thing's there competing. And I'll just be like, Lord, I confess. That was a good dunk. I like how that felt. But right now, this time is for you. And somehow it gives me the grace to turn away. Yeah. I just confess. Just tell Him. Call to activate your spirit. Call on His name. Not because someone tells you to or it's the right thing to do. Call because you love Him. Call because you want Him. Amen. Call because you want to see Him. Amen. And then when something's there in that, just deal with it. Lord, I confess. I love this thing. But Lord, I love You more. Amen. And this time is for You. Turn your heart to the Lord. Okay, second, that'll give you revelation. Second, in order for the eyes of our heart to be able to see, point two, we need to have a pure heart. And then Matthew 5:8, even though it's not on your memory verse sheet, you need to know Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This verse means so much to me. I want to give you a definition of what it is to be pure in heart. Please write it down and pray it to the Lord. To be pure in heart is to be single in purpose, to have the single goal of accomplishing God's will for God's glory. I'll read that again. To be pure in heart is to be single in purpose, to have the single goal of accomplishing God's will for God's purpose, or for God's glory. Amen. The last part. Okay. This really exposes us, especially in coming to the Word and coming to this message and coming to the training and going to your home meetings and going to the prayer meeting, the Lord's table meeting. Have you gone to these meetings? But have you seen God? But have you seen God? Have you seen Him when you're studying? Have you seen Him in your brothers and sisters' houses? And not only have you seen Him, but have you seen deep within His heart? You need a pure heart. A single heart. But there's so many things in our heart, our mind, our emotion, our will, our conscience. And if there's something occupying, distracting us in any of these parts, we don't have a pure heart. I don't mean clean. I mean single. Single. Lord, I'm coming to the Word right now to accomplish Your will for Your glory. What's His will? Well, I'll put it simply. He wants you to enjoy Him. It's just too simple. We're in the age of grace. He wants you to enjoy Him. Amen. And to receive His dispensing. Amen. This is His will for you. You know what happens is he works himself into our heart. And then he gets glory in the church. Oh, if you're coming to the Bible for any other reason, no wonder you haven't seen anything. Isn't it true? You come because you have a schedule. You come because people like me have told you to do it. And it's a good idea. And you kind of think, maybe I should do it. And so you come, but you don't enjoy. You don't see anything. It doesn't change you. You close the Bible, ho-hum. Life goes on. Back to my game. Back to studying. No big deal. I did it. I'm a good boy. I'm a good Christian boy, Peter. That's not okay. We miss the Lord. Or, you know, we have something in our conscience. I do want to touch the conscience. It'll be coming up later in this line, but if there is a sin on your conscience and you come to the Lord, your heart cannot be single. It's funny. It's your own conscience, which is a part of your heart. Your own heart directs you to that sin. You did this. You're trying to come to the Lord, but you did this. That was wrong. And then sometimes you're just like, you start justifying it. And you're like, I'm going to still read. I'm just going to read. No. You won't see anything. He won't be real to you in that time. The Word will be closed. It'll be dead. It'll be darkened. It'll kill you. You won't want to read anymore. We need to deal with our conscience. And this point here, again, confession. Okay, Lord. I came today because I have a Bible reading schedule and I'm supposed to read with this brother. I have so much to do. But all I want to do is just get this done. I confess that to you. Lord, purify my heart. Do you have faith that the Lord hears and answers such prayers that are so simple? I hope you are all believers. Lord, turn my heart. Lord, purify my heart. It's simple. It's not that hard. But if you don't, exercise your spirit. In this kind of specific prayer, the veils are not removed. You don't see. You fulfill your religious duty, but you don't see this precious person. Okay, I need to go faster now. Oh, Lord, I love you. 3, to see a vision, we need to be open and consecrated. Only those who are open and consecrated or single can receive light when they read the Bible. Okay, Exodus 21, 5 through 6. Write that down. And this is about a slave who loves his master. I hope all of us here are slaves who love our master. And he wouldn't go out free even though he had the opportunity. He said, no, I love you, I'm staying and I'm serving you. And so what happened is he took his ear to the doorpost and they bore it through with an awl, which is a spike. And it created an opening. Oh, Lord Jesus, you want that to happen to you? Not physically. Just pray, Lord, I open to you. You're fighting with something. You're struggling with something. Lord, I just open it to you. Speak to me. You came because you wanted something from God. Lord, I drop that. I drop my agenda with you. I open to you. Speak whatever you want. And if you choose not to speak to me right now, I'm okay with that. You're my master. But I really want to hear your word. I need your word. Speak to me. Speak to me. I open to you. And then consecrated. Okay. Consecrated. How about Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5? And there, we see Isaiah has the tongue of an instructed one. And that morning by morning, he comes to the Lord to hear. Oh. You know, if you're not consecrated, then Why would the Lord share with you His deepest heart's desire? Consecration means you belong to Him. You know, what we see becomes our commission. What we see is what God wants us to share with others. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He didn't keep it to himself. He wrote it down so that we would perceive. When we come to the Lord in the Word, you have to be consecrated. Lord, I consecrate myself to You. Then the light will come. Then He's willing to share with you all that's on His heart. If not, you'll just take it and do nothing with it. Why? Are you okay with someone doing that? We must be consecrated. And it's real simple. Again, Lord, I open myself to You. Lord, I consecrate myself to You. Consecrate this day to You. Whatever happens. It gets specific. Maybe you already consecrated your whole life to Him. But maybe while you were with Him, you were anxious about your future. But you say, Lord Jesus, I just consecrate myself to You. My future is in Your hands. Maybe you're worried about a test that day. Lord, that test, I'm consecrated. You can do whatever You want. This time is for You. And then, Lord, later after we'll study together.
Yeah.
Be consecrated. Then He can give you light. Fourth, in order to see a vision, we need to be in spirit and turn to see. As long as we are in spirit, when we turn, we will see. And you can circle Revelation 1, 10 and 12. It's really simple. The right position, in spirit. The right position, in spirit. Before God, to be in the right position, you need to be in spirit. And you need to turn to see. I love this part because when I'm reading my Bible, you know, if I'm in spirit, it's funny, like you're reading through and then a verse or a word. Once, I'll give you, well, it's a little embarrassing. No, I won't. Anyway, but once I came across just one word. And I, you know what? I didn't just keep going. I was in spirit. And I just turned and I heard a voice. in that written word, I heard a voice. Emmanuel, this word. And then that word, again and again and again, for over a half hour, I just prayed it to the Lord. And all these verses flooded me. And I was just enjoying so much. And I want you guys to have that kind of experience. Be in spirit. You know what the right angle is? The right angle is the angle you see things from when you're in your spirit. Because then you're one with God. Okay, let's read 5. Seeing a vision of Christ in the church may be likened to capturing a scene with a camera. Oh, Lord. The lens caps must be removed, the film must be proper, the light must enter, the camera must be in the right position and the right angle. You're the cameras! We're the cameras! Brother Lansdale said he didn't like the clicking of our folders, but God likes the clicking of our spirit. We want to click, 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 click to see. All the divine revelation. Don't you want to see? Oh, brothers and sisters, exercise your spirit. This training will be full of revelation. Amen. Okay. Well, I think we're out of time, yeah. How about you just pray with your neighbors again? Pray. Pray. Pray.